The title for this particular message right now for the 11 o'clock hour is Public Enemy Number One. Public Enemy Number One. And I hate to admit it, but every now and then I write something that I like so well that I think I should read this, so I will. Typically, I kind of look at verses and then go off of the top of my head, if you will, but I think this is important. During World War II, Franklin Roosevelt addressed the American nation by radio with those now famous words, which the World War II generation will never forget. President Roosevelt said this, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Those words provided the American people a sense of courage and resolve and unity of purpose, which enabled the American people to overcome the very real and very evil threat of Nazi Germany and the Japanese Empire. At this time in human history, America and many nations throughout the world are engaged in a battle with an unseen enemy named COVID-19. The coronavirus is a real threat to human life, and it's a threat which must be attacked and overcome. However, long after the coronavirus is defeated, there's another enemy which must be confronted if our nation or any nation is to endure. This enemy has been on planet Earth since the time of Adam and Eve, and this enemy is growing stronger and more threatening as time marches on. This enemy is no respecter of persons, families, or nations. In likeness to the coronavirus, this enemy is invisible to the naked eye. Yet this enemy can be rendered ineffective by those persons who have been trained to identify the enemy and to receive the antidote. This enemy is deception, also known as falsehood, and the only cure is truth. Time does not permit us to give a full discussion of the timeless battle between good and evil, truth and lies. So I will do my best during our time together this morning to cut to the chase and to at least equip you to identify the enemy and the only strategy which can give you the assurance of victory. Jesus said that all deceit, all deception, and all lies come from one source and one source only, and that source is Satan. Jesus said to his own enemies in John, the 8th chapter, at verses 42 through 47, these words, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." I'm going to try to keep this message a little shorter than the first one. I'll try to get you out of here by the top of the hour. But we do have some very important points we need to cover. And the first one is this. Satan is real, and he is out to eat your lunch. Satan is real, and he is out to eat your lunch. And I wrote here in my notes, I may as well continue on with this. Now I know that I may have lost many of you with the mention of the devil whose name is Satan. You don't believe there is such a person or that he has any influence over you. You may be saying that Satan's just a figment of my imagination and that I'm a fool. It's your choice to make whatever conclusion you want about me and Satan that you may wish. Yet I urge you to continue to pay attention to the scripture we're going to read this morning. This is only going to cost you a few more moments or minutes. And let's face it, we're all under lockdown anyhow, so you have time to hear this. So we're going to take the approach of looking at what God's word has to tell us about good and evil, deceit and truth, heaven and hell, Jesus and the devil. We read in Corinthians, and I'll go, I guess I should wait a minute before I go there. Let's go to point number two. You see how fast, how quickly we're moving here. Point number two. Planet Earth is the battlefield in the war between good and evil. As I explained in the first service, and as you've probably heard me say before, if you've listened by the radio or have paid attention to any of our other broadcasts, that in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had the opportunity to cast their vote with God and respect his authority and to not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, or to cast their lot with Satan, which is what they chose to do. Satan appeared to them in the person of all things, a snake. At that time in creation, the snake was a four-legged animal, but those legs were taken away from the snake because of his deceit. That was the punishment that God called upon the reptile. But nonetheless, Adam and Eve surrendered control of this planet to Satan. He is now what the Bible refers to as the God of this age. And ever since, there has been this war between good and evil. Now, please understand, my friends, Satan is not equal to God. Satan was created by God, and Satan rebelled against God in eternity past, way before the earth was created. God then created this planet for humans, to be created in his likeness, so that we might love one another and care for one another, just as God, through Christ, has shown his love to us. But as I've said already, Satan stole control of this planet from Adam and Eve. And you know how he did it? He did it by lies, he did it by deceit, and he did it by deception. He said, did God really say that if you eat of that fruit or touch it, that you will die? Well, God didn't say anything about touching it. He just said, if you eat it. And Satan, Eve looked at it and said, boy, this is beautiful looking fruit. We don't know what it was. We always picture it in our mind as being an apple. It could have been a fruit that doesn't even exist today. But it was good and pleasant to the eye and good to the taste. And so she ate of it. And in that day, what she did is she rebelled against God because God had warned Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, why would God have even put that plant there? Why would he have, quote, was God tempting them, unquote? No, he was not. God at that time was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. Not 24/7, but he would show up in the morning and spend the day with him and retreat to his abode, wherever it might have been. And so God, that was his plan for mankind, that we would have fellowship. But the whole idea is to have love, my friends, love. And you know, the Beatles weren't all wrong when they said, love is all you need. The trouble is the way the world defines loves isn't the same way God does. But nonetheless, God had to give Adam and Eve the freedom to either love him or not love him, to obey or not to obey. Otherwise, it wouldn't be love. If you're forced to love somebody, that's practical. In fact, it probably is hatred. You're forcing them to do something. How can they really say they love you if they're forced to do it? So God gave them a choice. to love him voluntarily. And they rejected the love of God, and so rejected God's plan for this planet, and Adam and Eve turned over control to Satan. Ever since, my friends, the plan of God is to allow men and women to have the same choice that Adam and Eve did. Either serve the God of this age, who is Satan, or serve Jesus, God. Now you're saying, well, that makes no sense. Is this going to go on forever? No, it is not. The Bible clearly teaches that there's going to come an end to this mess. Jesus Christ is going to return from heaven at the appointed time, and he's going to gather unto himself all of those who have voluntarily chosen to follow Christ. And at that point, God's going to put down a final rebellion. We often hear of the Battle of Armageddon. That's going to be a battle that takes place in the end times over in Jerusalem at the field of Megiddo. Historians tell us that when Napoleon was out to conquer the world and he came to Megiddo and he stood up on the mountain, it was probably Mount Carmel, but wherever, he looked out over it and he says, what a perfect place for a battle. And that is where the final battle is going to take place, my friends. Right now we are on the course, humankind is on the course of turning more and more and more control of this planet over to Satan. At one time, Europe was known as a European continent. It was the home of the Catholic Church that started under Constantine, the Emperor of Rome, who for the first time in 300 AD decided that Christians would no longer be put to death. He himself became a Christian, and he set up the Eastern Empire and Istanbul, Constantinople, and the Holy Roman Empire at one time ruled over all of Europe. Well, now Europe, my friends, is totally pagan. If you have 1% of its population of Europe in church on a Sunday morning, that's rare. The same is true of England. England, the British Empire in which the sun never sets. And that was true. And our nation was part of that empire. Now in England, people do not believe or teach the Word of God. And in America, my friends, we're coming to the same end. I would say that roughly 20% of the people in America believe in the God of the Bible, if that. I know you will read polls that will say 70% of the people in America are Christian. But then if they give those same 70% a 10 questionnaire, and they do this, they have done these polls, Gallup has, give them these 10 questions that are based upon the Bible and what are the inerrant truth of Scripture, you'll come up with at best 18 to 20% that believe in such things as the inerrancy of Scripture, the divinity of Jesus Christ, the sinfulness of man, and right on down the line. My friends, we are a pagan nation, and we are the last vestiges of Christianity left on this earth. And if and when Satan takes America down, then Katie, bar the door. It's over. My friends, there is absolutely no question at all that the Antichrist will indeed rule over the Middle East. The Antichrist, by all descriptions that you can read of him in the book of Daniel and in the book of the Revelation, is of Middle Eastern origin. Most likely out of the Islamic nations. In fact, the Islamic nations teach that until the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, comes back, you know, that then Allah will put them in control over the world. My friends, that comes from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. And that's where America has believed the lie, my friends. We were a Christian nation once. We are not now. Pluralism has taken over our culture. We used to believe e pluribus unum, out of the many, one. Now we're saying, let's tear down the one and make it many. Let's open our borders. Let's let every belief come in. What's true for you is true for me, you, and what's true for me is true for me. My friends, that's called relativism. It's pluralism. It comes from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. And right now, planet Earth is the battlefield in the war between good and evil. It always has been from the time of Adam and Eve, and it is even now. I have written here in my notes that if you choose Jesus and the truth, then you will live forever in the presence of a holy and righteous God, where there is no evil, no deception, no sorrow, no pain, no death. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, this great promise for those of us who know and love Christ. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But we've been deceived, my friends. We think all roads lead to the afterlife, the happy hunting ground, you know. I have written here in my notes that you and I, every human, has the privilege to choose our own side in this battle on planet Earth. The battle between good and evil, heaven and hell, truth or lies, eternal life or eternal damnation. Everybody's in this game, my friends. There are no spectators. Jesus said that you're either for Him or against Him. Those aren't my words, those are His. You're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. The final stage has been set. It's all pre-recorded in the Bible, and that's the beauty of this word, my friends. If you know the Bible, you know the end. And you know that despite the ugliness and the disease and the pestilence and the poverty and the mass hunger and starvation and punishment that the Antichrist is going to pour out on this world, it's very real, my friends. And you get to vote to avoid it or go through it. And by the way, the Bible teaches that those of us who know Christ have not been appointed under wrath, but under salvation. So, before God, and by the way, it's going to start off in the final 7 years that Satan himself is going to take the lead. And he himself is going to war and make war against the nations. But then, at the appropriate time, God himself is going to say, enough is enough. Now my wrath. The trumpet will sound. And God will begin to put out his wrath on this earth. And the bowls of wrath will pour out. And as I mentioned already, it will end at a battle in the place called Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon, where Satan will bring all of the nations of the world to battle against Jerusalem. That's why you keep your eyes on Jerusalem, my friends. They are God's chosen people. Not because they're better than us. As a matter of fact, they've rejected Christ themselves. That's why they were exiled for 2,000 years. They were worshiping false gods, just like we worship false gods. They did not acknowledge Jesus Christ after he died on a cross specifically for them and then for us as Gentiles, non-believers. It's because of the unbelief of the Jews, my friends, that you and I now can receive Christ. Had they received Christ when he had come to this planet, he would have set up his throne in Jerusalem and he'd be ruling right now. But because they rejected him, then God also rejected them. And he ordained history that in 70 AD, that the walls of Jerusalem would be scaled, that the people inside those walls would be killed, and they were scattered throughout this planet, the remnant of the Jews. And that's what the Holocaust was all about, by the way. And this is where America, my friends, wake up and smell the coffee. Truth matters. We have people who are being raised in this country who have never heard of the Holocaust. We have people that even deny that it even existed. And my friends, that was Satan's attempt through Adolf Hitler to bring an end to the line of Christ, the Jews. 6 million Jews killed, my friends, in the Holocaust. There are less than 20 million Jews on this whole planet, not right now, my friends. But they are still God's chosen people, and God has a plan for them. They too will be brought to a time of repentance for their rebellion. When God takes this church, at the thing called the rapture of the church, before he pours his wrath out, he's going to take the church up to heaven. And then the Bible clearly says in Revelation chapter 7 that he's going to appoint 12,000 apostles from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. There'll be 144,000 witnesses. They will proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ to the people of Israel. During that time, Moses and Elijah will appear upon this earth, and they will teach repentance to their own people. The Antichrist will strike them dead, and after 3 days, sound familiar? They will be raised back to life, and they will ascend into heaven to affirm that they were indeed God's chosen people, his two witnesses for that time which has yet to come. And then all of Israel will be saved. That's why it's so important, by the way, that America is standing with Israel. Thanks be to God that this nation has chosen to recognize Jerusalem as the capital, because that's where the temple will be rebuilt. And until such time as the temple is rebuilt, there can be no end to this mess on earth, because the Bible teaches that the Antichrist is going to occupy that dwelling and set himself up as God and demand that the entire world worship him. And no one will be able to buy or sell unless they take what is known as the mark of the beast. And there was a time when you could wonder, how could that be? How could that be? How could someone keep the whole world from buying and selling? We're on lockdown right now, aren't we, folks? Who would ever think that our nation, and you know, we all agree that we want to be safe and we want to protect our parents and people who are older and whose health has been compromised. But my friends, you know, if we can be easily persuaded to surrender our liberties because of this, and our country means this for good, what's it going to be like when you have a dictator who means it for evil? And we say, you used to wonder, how could you control who gets to buy and who gets to sell? My friends, the mark of the beast could very easily be a computer chip. It could be your handheld device. You don't know right now that everything that you say isn't being recorded and heard. In fact, we're told that it is. My friends, we are quickly approaching the end times, when all of this is going to come under the control of the evil one. And the sad thing is we have a country that doesn't even believe that there is a devil. We have a country that doesn't believe in absolute truth. Its truth is the only thing that's going to save us, my friends. And during this lockdown, Satan is using this lockdown as a time to put fear into the hearts of the American people. And the American people are so foolish. And because we've jettisoned God, most people don't know what's in the Bible. Most people may have a Bible in their homes. I never thought there would be a time when there would be homes in America without a Bible. I have dozens of them in my, maybe a dozen. I grew up in a home in the 50s and 60s and 70s where we all had our own Bible. We went to worship on Sunday morning. I'd come home from the service, and while Mom was making the meal out in the kitchen, Dad would sit the three boys around and says, okay, you heard the pastor, now let me take it further. And he would tell us and he would explain to us good and evil, right and wrong, Christ and the devil. And now, my friends, we've jettisoned that. We as a country do not believe in good and evil, right or wrong. We don't see the unseen battle. My friends, it's the battle. And the battle is being fought up here. If the enemy can get us to deny his very existence, he wins. We don't believe there's evil. We don't believe there's evil in this world. Have you seen the drug culture lately? Have you seen the movies lately? By the way, that's what's been going on during my lifetime with the increase of the media and the internet, to desensitize us, to dehumanize us, to think that it's only natural when you look at these violent movies, whether they be cartoon characters or whether it be Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator, it doesn't matter. But you're seeing bodies being torn and ripped apart and blood everywhere and massacre and you see pestilence and you see violence. And my friends, it's all to desensitize us to where we say there's no good or evil. The language, the foul language that's on TV, the idea that we would promote, and now they're trying more and more to just have every television show embrace what we call the gay lifestyle. My friends, truth matters. And God is always on the side of truth. I wrote down these notes. I heard this on the radio this morning by Tony Evans, pastor out of Dallas. Brilliant man. I encourage you to listen to him. Go on your websites. Listen to him. You can go. He has archives there. You can listen to his messages. There are several good Bible teachers out there. But he was talking about truth, and he said, truth is an objective standard by which reality is measured. Think about that. Truth is not what is true for you is true for you, and what is true for me is true for me. No, truth is an objective standard by which reality is measured. You want to know what the real reality is, my friends? This is it. It says, Holy Bible. What makes it true? Because it's all inspired by God. 40 different authors over 1,500 years, living at different times in different circumstances, and all of it is consistent, my friends. You couldn't do that. You just can't do that. That's supernatural. It's all God-breathed. In fact, that's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, all of Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and correcting and rebuking and training in righteousness so that the man of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's not what's true for you is true for you and what's true for me is true for me. No, this is God's truth. And the writer of Hebrews said, the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is made known and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. My friends, we're all going to give an account to Jesus Christ. Those of us who have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, those of us who have put our faith in His shed blood on the cross as payment for the penalty of our sin, those of us who therefore are now walking in the newness of life that we have in this book, Jesus said, your word is truth. My friends, those of us that are walking by the truth, we're going to live forever and we're going to be resurrected, and yet we're going to give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad, because how we live matters. Christians forget that we're here for one reason and one reason only. The chief aim of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We have bought into the lies of this world. We think it's about sex and power and money and privilege. Satan, he persecuted the early church, and it grew and spread throughout the world with the gospel. Now, the church in the end times, Satan says, I'm not going to persecute you dummies. I'm going to give you all kinds of money. And we're still printing out money. Ain't that great? We're going to give everybody free money. And we're going to give you free health care. And we're going to take care of you. You don't need a God. What does God have to offer you that I'm not giving you here on this earth? It's called secular humanism, my friends. It's so funny that the people in government and the keep people in politics and that want to shut us up, you know, and say, you know, you keep your religion to yourselves, they're spreading theirs. You know, everyone worships a God, my friends. We were made to worship. You either worship the God of the Bible or you worship Satan. And what's interesting is people laugh at that and say, there's no such thing as Satan. And he laughs. He says, good, I don't want you to believe in me. I want you to think that this is all your own doing and that you're too cool for school. And then when I come back, when I reveal myself as the Antichrist, you big dummies, I'm going to have you eating right out of my palm. I'm going to be killing you guys left and right. I'm going to be, man, I'm just going to unleash evil on you folks like ugly on an ape. And we're buying into that, my friends. This planet is a battlefield for the hearts and minds of men. What you think matters, my friends. That's why, by the way, if you get in that, I'm going to say it right now. I said it in the first service. I hope I repeat it again before we're through here. Turn off the TV. Turn off the internet unless you're going to use those instruments to watch God's word, to see it being taught by good Bible teachers, my friends. Turn it off. Because all they're doing is trying to bring fear into your life. There's no fear in Christ. Perfect love drives out fear. The most oft-written promise in the Old Testament is fear not. 366 times it's there. Wonder how many days there are in a year. Duh. Fear not. Perfect love drives out fear, my friends. We're not to be a fearful people. But you win that battle in your mind. And if you let that garbage of the media come into your mind day after day after day, it brings in fear after fear after fear. Government, God, for we don't need Christ. Give me the government. They're going to save me. They're going to secure my job. They're going to send me $1,200 a person. They're going to underwrite the next 2 months, and then we're going to print trillions and trillions of more, never realizing, my friends, that once America goes down, Satan has, that's it, baby. We're all that's left as far as having a significant number of Christians. That's why he's after this country so badly. And it's our greed, our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our pride, the things of this world. The Bible says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Because everything in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of flesh, and the boasting of the things that man has and does, come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. It's the battlefield of the mind, my friends. Even back in the first century, Paul wrote this for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The people in the sound booth may or may not have it. It was an afterthought in my mind this morning. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and following. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to, and this is what Paul said to the church, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. My friends, as I said, 70% of America say, we're Christians. No, you're not. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Do you know what his commands are? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, my friends. You know, if you're just, you know, willy-nilly going through this world, just ease, comfort, and pleasure, give me what I want, you know, and oh, yeah, I'll go to church on occasion. You're not a Christian. You don't know God. You don't know Christ. You're kidding yourself. You've been lied to. And by the way, that's why I don't give altar calls here. I don't want somebody to get all emotional because I whip them to a frenzy by God's word. They get convicted of their sin. They come down here. They cry a tear. They say, I've received Christ. They go out the door. You never see them again. They think they're going to heaven. They're going to hell. My friends, true repentance means putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Faith means believing that which is not as if it were, so that it shall be. Faith means believing the word of God and acting upon it no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. It's not anything to do with emotions. Emotions are fine. God gave us emotions, but we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Well, I feel this way and you feel that way. What's true for you is true for you. What's true for me is true for me. It's from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. Jesus said that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And this whole thing, my friends, is coming down to the final ends of time when Christ is going to return and set up his kingdom on this planet. And in the meantime, Satan's trying to take as many people to hell as he can, because Satan was cast out of heaven because of his rebellion before time on earth began. He knows. Satan's read this Bible. I'll give him credit. At least Satan's read the Bible. He knows this. He quoted the Bible to Jesus when he tempted him out in the desert. You don't know it. Satan doesn't want you to know this, but he knows it. And he knows his time is short. And that's why he's leashing havoc, wreaking havoc on his earth. What's this have to do with the coronavirus? I challenge you. Go to the book of Job. Read chapter 1. That's all you really need to read, but it'd be good to read the whole thing. It says Job was a righteous man, that he gave sacrifices to God on a regular basis for fear that maybe one of his seven sons or three daughters had sinned. He had 10 children. He was righteous and upright. And it says that Satan walks into the throne room of God, and God says to him, "Satan, where have you been?" He says, "I've been running to and fro over the earth." This is but 2000 BC. And God says to him, "What do you think of my servant Job? Faithful and upright." Satan says, "Flesh for flesh." He says, "Of course he's upright. Look at how much you've prospered him. Look at all the camels and look at all the cattle and look at the prosperity he has. But let me take that from him and see what happens." And God says, "Okay, go." And so he does. All the kids are killed. All of his animals are taken away. And ultimately, he says, "From the womb, I came into the world, and empty I will go out. Praise God." Satan can do nothing on this earth that God does not allow. The coronavirus would not be here had God not allowed it, my friends. But God is good. And the Bible tells us that God works all things together for good to those who love him and were called to his purpose. As we said in the first service, Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill only the body, but fear him who can kill the body and the soul in hell. Who can kill the body and the soul in hell? Only God. Yeah, this body is a throwaway item. Jesus says that which of the spirit is spirit, and that which is of the flesh is flesh. The spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. We're all going to die, my friends. And the biggest decision you've got to make while you're alive on this planet is, am I going to die and go to heaven, or am I going to die and go to hell? And right now, Satan is battling to take as many to hell with him as he can, because his destiny's fixed. He's read it. He knows it. He knows he's going into the eternal lake of fire. And he knows that when he brings up his final battle at the Battle of Armageddon and Christ comes and returns, that he's defeated. So why is Satan doing this? Because he hates you. And why does he hate you? Because you were created in the image of God. And you have free will. And you can choose to go with God. And he knows that God loves you. And he knows the only way he can get back at God for throwing him and a third of the angels out of heaven, we now call them demons. The only way Satan can get back is he thinks he's punishing God by punishing us. He thinks he's punishing God by taking us to hell. And the truth is, he is. Because God loves us. And it's not the will of God that any should perish, the Apostle Peter writes, 2 Peter chapter 3. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is love, and in him there is no darkness at all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. He said, those who believe in him will have eternal life, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. My friends, Jesus came into the world to condemn the world. Did not come to condemn the world. He came to save us. He came to save us. Verse, my eyes are weak. It says, whoever believes in him, reading verse 18, from John 3 is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. My friends, God sends nobody to hell. Jesus came to have you escape hell. You send yourself to hell by rejecting God. Truth matters. And when we jettison truth, as America has done, we jettison any hope of being one nation under God. This is the way Satan works: divide and conquer. And now, Satan, the father of lies, has America and the world on the ropes. So I'm going to give you some facts about what we can use to overcome Satan and unify this country. And by the way, I don't know if I said it in this service. That's the problem about having had a concussion a few years ago. I can't recall. But I know I said it either in the first service or now, but I'll say it again if we did say it here. Right now, this coronavirus could go away overnight. If our Congress, if our Supreme Court, if our president, if our cabinet members, if our military, if our business leaders who run and control Wall Street, if our top educators, if our governors, if you and I, if we as a nation would get on our knees and say, "Dear Father God, we repent. We acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Please come and cleanse us and forgive us and teach us the ways of righteousness so that we might walk in your ways and know you and love you and serve you and that we might love each other. That we might love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we might love our neighbor as ourself, which is God's will for all of mankind." If we would pray that prayer and believe it and follow it, my friends, this coronavirus would go away in a minute. But God allows it not to punish us. He's allowing it because God works all things together for the good of those who love him, the called according to his purpose. He's calling this nation to repentance. He's saying, turn off your stupid television. Quit listening to these talking heads who know nothing about me. I'm the only thing that matters. Turn it off! Turn it off! Turn it off! Garbage in and garbage out, my friends. But if you start reading the eternal word of God, we can turn this country around in a heartbeat. John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching," and there's the key, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And by the way, if you go to church and don't hold to his teachings, you're not his disciple. "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free." Set you free from sin and anger and greed and everything, my friends. You'll live a life of abundance because you'll be walking in the Spirit. You'll be believing in Jesus Christ. You'll be full of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Where do you see anger and bitterness in any of that? Turn off the television for God's sake. For your sake. If you keep taking in the garbage of this lying, deceitful media and the leaders of our country, my friends, you're going to hell. But if you repent and receive Jesus Christ and stay focused, the Lord is in his holy temple, Habakkuk wrote, let all the world be silent before him. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, N-O-O-N-E, no one comes to the Father except through me, my friends. Buddhism doesn't cut it. Islam doesn't cut it. Jehovah's Witness don't cut it. Mormons don't cut it. My friends, it's only Jesus Christ. If you want to know, first of all, the way to heaven is through forgiveness of sin, that he died on the cross for you. The truth, You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the life. And the life. You want to have life? Life. Even when you die, my friends, you don't die. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit, Jesus said. Do not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. My friends, you must be born again. Jesus said, John 18, 36, 37. This is the same day on which he's about to be crucified. He'd already been flogged and beaten and was barely alive. And Pontius Pilate comes to him. And he starts asking him questions. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. My friends, you can't believe lies and be a Christian. I'm sorry, you just can't. That's one of Satan's lies. It's like, you know, this whole nonsense. What's true for you is true for you. What's true for me is true for me. This is it, my friends. And unless those talking heads on the media are quoting scripture to you, and unless they are speaking in love, if they're speaking with bitterness or resentment and causing hatred, my friends, they're from the pit of hell and they smell like smoke. And if you're even listening to it and agreeing with it, you're going to hell because you have cast your vote with the enemy. Doesn't mean you're not beyond repentance. You can open up this book and start reading it, my friends. And you can get on your face before God and you can confess your sin, because the Bible says if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says, and here's the problem, my friends, you know, it can be too late. There's going to become a point, and we may already be there, and I think we might be, where people won't put up with sound doctrine. The Bible says they'll surround themselves with all kinds of teachers to teach their tickling ears what they want to hear. And we've had that. It's going on out there in the church in America today. And I remember whenever Billy Graham would preach, he would say that there would come a point that after you heard the gospel so many times and you put on those layers of hardness, and also ultimately you get to the point where you're beyond repentance and without remedy. My friends, God will grease the tracks in the order, in the direction you want to go. God's a loving God. He doesn't force anyone to love him and go to heaven. He loves you, but he won't violate your free will. He made that decision before he created us. He knew we were going to violate that free will. He knew that we were going to rebel in the Garden of Eden. And long before he even created us, he knew that he would send his son to the cross to die for us, because he doesn't want robots. He wants people who voluntarily love him. But your heart can get so hard that you can no longer do that. God will grease the path. If you don't want him, he says, okay, go live your life without me. And that's what's happening in America today. You know, debt, the Bible is very clear. Debt is against God's will. $21 trillion is where we were as a nation. Now we're at 23, and it's going to go even more. And then individually, I forget what the private debt in this country is. It's pretty phenomenal, too. Every time you borrow to get something that you think you need to have that God hasn't provided, you're telling God, I don't trust you. I need this, so I'm going to get it on my own. Probably the only exception to that is housing, because that's why we have good, valid, legitimate mortgages that should work. But look how we've corrupted that. We're so greedy, we're selling houses for $200,000 that we paid $100 for. Greed! Wow! 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12, talking about our time as we approach the end. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back, that's God, will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus Christ will overwhelm with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. At the end of this tribulation, that's what's going to happen. Jesus will just speak and no more Satan. He goes into the pit. for 1,000 years. And that's another sermon for another day. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, circle lie, in all the ways that wickedness deceives, circle deceives, those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, and he greases the path in the way you want to go. You want to believe the lies? He'll make it easy for you to do. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. I have written here in my notes, truth matters. What you believe matters. Planet Earth is a battlefield in the war between good and evil, in the war between truth and lies, in the war between Jesus, who is the truth, and Satan, who is the father of lies. On the night before Jesus was crucified, Jesus prayed for his disciples, and that's you and me if we're believing in him. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, okay? Don't protect them from the coronavirus and all the evil. I'm leaving them there. And by the way, every time a non-believer gets cancer, I believe that the Lord allows a believer to get cancer so that the world can see the difference. Think about that. We're not protected from all the evil that there is in this world. God allows these things. Don't fear the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill both the body and soul in hell. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That's what God's prayer is for us. Protect us from Satan. My disciples are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them. That means set them apart from a common to a holy use. Make them different. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And that brings us to point number four. And we're going to go through these so quickly, it's going to make your head spin. Point number four, God wins, Satan loses. I've already told you that. I'll take you to the text. You'll find it in Revelation. You'll find it in Revelation chapter 20. If I didn't have my papers all stuck together here. Revelation 20, verse 7. As I said, Satan will be put down at the garden at the Battle of Armageddon. He'll be cast into the abyss for he'll be for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. So even after Satan's been bound for 1,000 years, there are going to be people who go through the tribulation who are going to be in physical bodies, and they're going to have children who have physical offspring, and Jesus will be reigning on this earth for that 1,000-year period of time, and yet there's still going to be a significant number of people after 1,000 years that have been born and regenerated who, even though living in the presence of Jesus Christ, will not receive him. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. That would be Jerusalem. But listen to this. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. My friends, you can go with Satan. That's your choice. But God wins and Satan loses. And point number five, you have the privilege of choosing whose side you want, on which you want to serve. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Next verse. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Next verse. Whoever believes in him isn't condemned. You get to choose, my friends. You believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. You don't believe, you go to hell. God doesn't send you there. You do it on your own. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So you get to choose. Point number six, your choice will have eternal consequences. Your choice will have eternal consequences. We read this in Romans chapter 10. I quoted it briefly before. I'll read it in full for you now. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. That means made right before God. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. The scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. My friends, even though the world may mock you and ridicule you and tell you you're an idiot or a fool because you believe in an invisible God and you believe that he can heal the coronavirus, and if you believe that between a heaven and a hell and you believe in absolute truth, my friends, it's your choice. But if you choose, it says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And number seven, our final big point, and this is the big takeaway. A wise person will use the current lockdown to study God's word and choose to spend eternity with Christ instead of eternity in hell. My friends, you're an absolute fool if you go home now and watch television and turn on any of the networks and start listening to the talking heads. Until this virus is gone, don't even think about reading the news. You can't change it. They're going to do what they do. They're the leaders. They're going to do it. We're not going to change them right now. Our liberties have never been more compromised than they are right now. What we say and think doesn't matter. But pray. The Bible says pray for our leaders that they might have wisdom. Pray for these people. Even though they don't know God, God knows them and he can control them and he can make them make good judgment. And for yourself, my friends, get in the Word. Watch Christian TV. Read your Word. Come to this church and get a Bible if you don't have one. We're open during the week. You can walk in the lobby, take a Bible, walk back out. We also have out there a devotion rack with lots of devotionals that tell you about Jesus and how to worship and follow and believe. And my friends, take them, go home, read them, study them, get on the internet, read the Bible, read good Christian writing. My friends, this is your chance. You're never going to have this chance again. You can't go to work if you want to. We're under lockdown. God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. This did not catch God off guard. Just as he allowed Satan to go against Job, so he's allowed Satan to have this coronavirus. But what Satan means for evil, God intends for good, my friends. God will never let anything happen to us that doesn't first pass through the nail-scarred hands of Christ. He loves you. He loves you. Your public enemy is lie and deceit. Garbage in, garbage out. Turn it off and seek the truth. Let's pray. Dear Father God, give us the wisdom as a nation does. Quit listening to the talking heads and to listen to you, our Creator God. And let each one of us pray the prayer, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O God, my strength and my Redeemer. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And all of God's people said, Amen.